Good morning. Pastor Bonnet is still feeling a little bit under the weather, so I am the fill-in for today, and hopefully I will be able to lead the service as well as she does. This morning, make sure and look over your prayer list in the back of the bulletin for our announcements. Again, welcome to all who are here, whether you are sitting in a pew or whether you are at home worshiping with us. For the upcoming week, remember, December 5th, tomorrow, Greek group from 4:30 to 6 in the office. On Wednesday, and then worship to follow afterwards. The Lutheran Men in Mission Christmas party, 6:30 in the Fellowship Hall. December 11th, the Agape Christmas caroling at 2 p.m., the immediate church, and also that same day, the Angel Tree gifts are due. That was not in your bulletin. And church council next Monday, not tomorrow, but next Monday at 7, and down dinner, worship services will continue through the season. Talent forms for 2023 are available back. Plenty of opportunities for people to sign and connect to serve in the coming year. Sheets for Mother's Rose Garden and altar flowers for 2023 are available on the bullet board at the bottom of the ramp. Are there other announcements? Okay, our birthdays and anniversaries. Celebrating birthdays this week, Susan Lohr, Nicole Mize, and Maddie Lohr Pope. And there are no anniversaries listed. Are there other celebrations? Okay. Let's pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their heart, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who alone does wonders, who lifts up the lowly, who fills the hungry with good things. Amen. Let us confess our sin, trusting in the tender mercy of our God. God, for whom we wait, in the presence of one another, we confess our sin before you. We fail in believing that your grace is for us. We falter in our call to tend your creation. We find our sense of self in material wealth. We fear those different from ourselves. We forget that we are your children and turn away from your love. Forgive us, blessed one, and assure us again of your saving grace. God in Christ Jesus has looked with favor upon you. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven. You are children of the Most High, inheritors of the eternal promise, and recipients of divine mercy. God strengthens you anew to follow the way of peace. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, nurture our growth as people of repentance and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first lesson is from the 11th chapter of Isaiah. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall lie down with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatting together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat the straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on the holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
We will say responsively, Psalm 72. Give the king your justice, O God. That he may rule your people righteously,
and the poor with justice.
That the mountains may bring prosperity to the people,
and the hills in righteousness.
Let him defend the needy among the people,
rescue the poor and crush the oppressed.
May he live as long as the sun and the moon endure, let him come down like rain upon the mown field,
like showers that water the earth.
In his time may the righteous flourish,
and let there be abundance of peace, till the moon shall be no more.
Blessed are you, Lord God, the God of Israel, and blessed be your glorious name forever. The second lesson is from the 15th chapter of Romans. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promise given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore, I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with the people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, so that you may bound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 3rd chapter. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stories to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with the unquenchable fire." This is the gospel of the Lord. At this time, I'm going to light the Advent wreath and read the prayers from our confirmands. So this year, as we light the candles on the Advent wreath, we're reading prayers that were written by confirmands at Camp Formation this past summer. As they were learning about the church year, Pastor Anna taught a lesson on Advent, and she asked the students to write prayers or hopes for the world based on the themes of each week. Last week, the prayers were for hope, and they were read aloud. Today, as we have lit the second candle symbolizing peace, we read the Camp Formation students' prayers for peace. Peace be with everyone who is struggling in any way. May people who are struggling have peace in their lives, and may the people around them give them peace. I hope for peace in the world, and for love for the world, and for people to have peace in their minds. May the peace of God be given to all people. I need peace in my heart. May there be peace for Ukraine. May there be peace for my heart. Peace for all people with mental illnesses. May peace be with all the people in the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen. And I'd like to invite the children to come forward at this time. Watch out, that carpet will grab you. I remember Mary used to walk back. We'd see her walking, and then all of a sudden, boom, we didn't see her anymore for a few seconds. Well, good morning. I have a question for you. Have you guys ever seen anybody clean anything? You probably haven't cleaned anything yourself, But what kind of things do we clean? Tables? What else? Do you have any puppies at home? Do you ever give them a bath? Okay, well, sometimes we have to clean our pets too. But today, in our gospel, there's this guy named John the Baptist. Okay? And John wore some funny clothes. He wore a camel's hair tunic and a leather belt. And he ate wild honey and locusts. You know what locusts are? They're like crickets. So you want me to go back, go outside and find a few right now? We have a snack? Well, I think I've had a cricket or two before, but they were covered in chocolate, so that kind of wasn't as bad. Well, John the Baptist was a cleaner. You know what he was cleaning up? He was trying to clean up everybody in the area to get them prepared for the coming of the Messiah. And that's Jesus. So sometimes we do have to clean the path. And that's exactly what John the Baptist was doing. Okay? I thought about bringing a mop and a broom in here and letting y'all help me clean up a little bit, but I don't think y'all would have worked like that, would you? Not too much. So let's think about this. As we're moving towards the birth of Jesus Christ and celebrating that on Christmas Day, we're in the season of Advent. So we're preparing the way. We're trying to clean up things, to repent, to try to ask for forgiveness of sins that we know about and things that we don't know about. And we have a confession at the beginning of church every single Sunday. Okay? So let's think about it. What can we do to help clean up and prepare the way? Any ideas? Anybody? How can we help clean the path to prepare for Christmas and for that blessed event? You don't have to answer out loud. Just think about it. Okay? All right, so let us pray. You guys repeat after me, okay? Dear Lord, we thank you for being here today. We thank you for sending John the Baptist to clean the way for all of us. In your heavenly name, amen. All right, thanks, guys. Wearing this microphone the right way because all this extra noise. I apologize. All right. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord. Amen. Well, our gospel reading for the second Sunday of Advent offers one of my favorite Christmas time traditions. The annual visit from a man that is unkempt, probably considered unclean, loud-mouthed, and he's got a funny-looking suit and diet, John the Baptist. So every year on the second Sunday of Advent, the gospel reading does feature this remarkable prophet, whose sole task in life is to prepare the way of the Lord. And he does it with style, doesn't he? Out in the wilderness, dressed strangely, living off the land, baptizing people in the River Jordan and proclaiming a powerful message. John knew a very simple but world-changing truth, that the Messiah was coming and it was time to get ready. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world is on the way. The long-promised Savior who would rescue Israel from its sin. John believed what the world had only hoped for, that the Savior was about to come, and with him would come the whole kingdom of heaven. And he dedicated his entire life to preparing the way, fearlessly, passionately, without counting the cost, which would be his own very life. But he didn't care, because he was doing what God wanted him to do, and nothing else mattered anymore. John the Baptist is sometimes called the forerunner, because he came before Jesus and it was sent in advance of Jesus to announce that coming and to get the world ready for Jesus. And that's led me to think about a lot of things this week. What about us? Who's our forerunner? Who or what prepares us for Jesus? Who or what prepares us for God to come into our life and into our world? The point and purpose of John the Baptist is to be that forerunner, to call those around him to repentance, to prepare the way of the Lord. But in our busy secular world, who or what does that for us? Our forerunner may not be a person at all. I've been thinking, for example, of how suffering can serve in that role. For example, a new illness sometimes can prepare the way for God to come into the life in a new way. I read a Lutheran pastor's story this week where he once visited the husband of a church member after he was diagnosed with terminal cancer. He told the pastor that if he got out of that hospital, he was going to get baptized and join the church. He did, and then he did. What a privilege it was for that pastor to welcome into the kingdom of God through the waters of holy baptism a new believer. And then it was the honor of that same pastor to remind all of that man's loved ones of this gift on the day of his funeral several years later. I could tell more stories where crisis in people's lives led them to the faith that has served as forerunners of sorts. And so could you. They show us that God is still at work in this world. The Holy Spirit continues to call all people in the sorts of ways that are mysterious and varied. Call these ways forerunners as well, and then notice the ways in which they prepare for the coming of Jesus. Suffering can assuredly serve that role. It's not that God causes all suffering, but that God can use all suffering to lead us back to Him. C.S. Lewis calls pain the megaphone that rouses our deaf world. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is His megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Suffering can break our hearts open to the mystery and mercy of God, but not always. Suffering can also make us bitter. It can harden our hearts and close us to love and mercy. And the question that I'll probably spend the rest of my life pondering is, why? Why does suffering lead some closer to Jesus, and why does it make others bitter? Why does it strengthen the faith of some and weaken the faith of others? To consider that question in light of today's gospel reading, we might wonder why some accepted John the Baptist while others rejected him. Many people were going out to him, the story tells us, and were baptized by him, confessing their sins. But others were going out to him for other reasons. John saw into their hearts and didn't like what he saw. Why? Well, that's because he saw a sin that they were hiding away, locked up as if it was kept in a safe, the sin of presumption. They have Abraham as their ancestor. They are God's chosen. They don't need what John is offering. They don't need to repent, but they are wrong. And John knows it. He famously calls them a brood of vipers and challenges them to bear fruit worthy of repentance. I think that sometimes we misread this story, especially if we don't see a little of us in those vipers. If we don't acknowledge a little of that same sin locked away, the sin of presumption. We are not children of Abraham in that same way, but we are baptized Christians. We are active churchgoers. We might be tempted to think, what do we need to repent of? What do we need to change? What do we need to do to prepare our hearts for the coming of the Lord? If we can't think of anything, then we might have fallen into that same trap of presuming that we don't have to make any changes before we come face to face with Jesus. If this reading doesn't make us just a little uncomfortable, we may be missing something important. We should be asking ourselves, not anyone else, if we are bearing fruit worthy of repentance. Are we bearing good fruit in our lives today? We know what that fruit is. It is love, it is joy and peace. It is patience and kindness and generosity. It's faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are we bearing these things? What are some things we need to work on? What are some things that we know we can do better with? To honestly ask those questions is to do the hard work of Advent, the work of repenting and preparing for the coming of the Lord. But once we have come up with these things to work on, how do we work on them? How do we work on having more joy or more patience or more gentleness? It's not like getting in shape or cleaning the house. We can't sign up for a class and learn this new skill. It comes from somewhere else. To be called to repent tells us what not to do, but it doesn't tell us what to do in its place. That's because to repent is to acknowledge that we can't do it, not on our own. Here's how Lutheran theologian Richard Jensen puts it. In repenting, we ask the God who has turned toward us, buried us in baptism, and raised us to new life to continue his work of putting us to death. Repentance is an I can't experience. The repentant person comes before God saying, I can't do it all myself, God. Kill me and give me new life. You buried me in baptism. Bury me again today and raise me to a new life. That's the language of repentance. True repentance begins with us saying, I can't. And it takes real humility to say, I can't. If we're confident of our standing before God, we are presuming. We're not repenting. That's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees were accused of doing. And we can fall into that same trap because as Christians, we have everything all tied up and secure, right? Repenting means turning from our presumptions and turning toward our Lord and Savior and saying, I can't. And that takes humility, trust, and a definite lack of presumption. Advent is a season where we're invited to say, humbly and faithfully, I can't. I can't do it myself. I can't get ready for Christ's coming by my own efforts. I need help. And that takes humility. But I also find it to be something of a relief because it means that we don't have to figure it all out. We don't have to climb our way into heaven. We don't have to make the world perfect. We just have to surrender, give in to Jesus, and let him do his work in us and then through us. We simply repent, die to our ways of sin, and let him raise us to new life. We let his grace do his work in us. It's why we attend church, isn't it? To acknowledge that we have tried everything and nothing worked. And so here we are to give up our own efforts and to turn to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's the basic life-changing message of John the Baptist. In Christ, the kingdom of heaven comes to us. And the best way to prepare for it is to confess our need for him. The best way to prepare for Christians is to acknowledge our need for Christ. Maybe that's why one of the most beloved Christian stories outside of the Bible is really, Christmas stories, excuse me, outside of the Bible, is really a story about repentance. Have you ever heard of Ebenezer Scrooge? His story is really of a man who was made bitter by suffering. And who repented. The visit from the ghost of Christmas past reminded him of the suffering that had led him to his bitterness. The ghosts of Christmas present and future showed him how his bitterness had hurt others. And Scrooge famously repents, not to please the ghosts or even God, but he simply is reminded of the amazing love of God, the overwhelming beauty of this world, and the priceless gift of life of our existence. And through his repentance, his heart is flooded with love, joy, and peace. And it spills out of him in a way that blesses those around him. As that story concludes, Scrooge became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man, and as good as any of the city had known. And it was always said of him after that he knew how to keep Christmas well. And if any man alive possessed the knowledge, they lived the same way. May that be truly said of us and of all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone. It's a good illustration of today's gospel reading and of what can happen when we let our life, with all its turmoil, lead us closer to God rather than pushing away and making us bitter. The forerunners to Christ are many in our world, all helping us to prepare the way of the Lord. When our hearts are open to it, it's a wonderful thing. All leading us to Bethlehem and to the true gift of Christmas. So let us bring our bitterness and our weariness, our frustration and our angers to God. Let us open our hearts to the one who is born for us, the one who promises to fill our hearts with love and with joy and with peace. Praise be to God. Amen. Royal highway, the King of Kings is here.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
As we prepare for the fullness of Christ's presence, let us pray for a world that yearns for new hope. God, you renew the church in every age. We give thanks for hymn writers and theologians. Inspire teachers, writers, and musicians to delight and instruct your people. God, in your mercy, you give us a vision of creation in harmony when hurting and destruction will be no more. Teach us to be stewards of the earth and companions to its creatures. Restore to balance and wholeness what human greed has harmed. God, in your mercy, you defend the cause of all who are poor and oppressed. Raise up leaders who will govern with equity and serve the common good. Guide judges, lawmakers, and public officials to protect the rights of those who cannot advocate for themselves. God, in your mercy, you deliver those in need from suffering and fear. Come to the aid of any who are exploited or abused, especially children, elders, and victims of human trafficking. Provide safety and help to our neighbors without shelter, refuges, and those fleeing violence. God, in your mercy, you urge your people to welcome one another as you have welcomed us. Nurture ministries of hospitality and care in this and every congregation. We pray for all who are in need, especially Dean, Teresa, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, Carrie, Bonnie, Boyd, Mike, Scott, Neil, Paul and Carolina, the family of Jean Queen, and friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. God, in your mercy, you embrace all who have died trusting in your promises, and we give thanks for their faithful witness. Sustain us in hope until we are united with them in the joy of your eternal presence. God, in your mercy.
God of longing, you know our deepest needs. By your Spirit, gather our prayers and join them with the prayers of all your children. In Jesus' name we pray. May the peace of Christ be with you all. Please share a sign of that peace.
Thank you.
God of our waiting and watching, we offer the gifts of our heart and our lives to the service of all your people. Prepare the way before us as we meet you in this simple meal, through Jesus Christ, our pathway and our peace. Amen.
For by your word you made all things. You spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, and brought life into being. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks. By your word you called your people Israel to tell of your wonderful gifts, freedom from captivity, water on the desert journey, a pathway home from exile, wisdom for life with you. For your word of life, O God, through Jesus, your word made flesh, you speak to us and call us to witness. Forgiveness through the cross, life to those entombed by death, the way of your self-giving love. For your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
Send your spirit of truth, O God, rekindle your gifts within us, renew our faith, increase our hope, and deepen our love for the sake of a world in need. Faithful to your word, O God, draw near to all who call on you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever.
Amen.
And now let us pray as the Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. And now let us share our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace. Christ is near.